This morning, I have an interesting and strange word for you. I'm going to talk about the decimation of pride. And I'm going to be quoting from the book of Judges today, and a book that is very significant. Before there were kings in Israel, there were judges in Israel. We know a few, Samson. We're going to talk about one named Jephthah today. But we're going to talk specifically about the fact that I believe that the Lord is at work right now in the body of Christ to surface pride, spiritual pride, to clearly draw a circle around it and decimate it, destroy it. Loved one, the root of all sin is pride. It's the foundation of every expression of sin. At the base of every sin is, what about me? I want what I want. I don't care what God wants. I want what I want. And we are lovely little narcissistic self-willed creatures. But hear me. I believe right now God is in the midst of bringing a line of separation. Do you remember when he divided the land of Goshen and on one side the cows were dead and on the other side they were just fine? You know, when God draws a line, his people are blessed. Those who claim to be his people are not blessed. And I'm going to tell you a strange story. Let me just read the text to you in Judges chapter 12. And the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and went northward and said unto Jephthah, wherefore passest thou over to fight against the children of Ammon and didst not call us to go with thee? We will burn thine house upon thee with fire. Isn't that a nice greeting again? And Jephthah said unto them, I and my people were at a great strife with the children of Ammon. And when I called you, you delivered me not out of their hands. And when I saw that you delivered me not, I put my life in my hands and passed over against the children of Ammon, and the Lord delivered them into my hand. Wherefore, then are you come unto me this day to fight against me? Did you know there's some folks that will just fight anything God does in your life? They will contest it. They will fight it. Did you know when God's just about ready to bless you, someone's going to rise up and say, what about me? I deserve that more than they do. I need a car more than they do. Envy, the green-eyed monster. Look at the Ephraimites. Just listen to these weirdos. Now, remember, Jacob had 12 sons, and they became the 12 tribes, right? Representative of all of God's people. Then there was the season of judges where God led the 12 tribes in their land through these men called judges. And there were different names of different people, strange names. You know Samson, he was one. We're going to look at Jephthah today. But after the series of the season of the judges, remember a man named Samuel anointed King David to be the first king in Israel. He was king for 40 years. Then he died and, Saul was king first for 40 years, then David for 40 years, then Solomon for 40 years. It's easy to remember. The period of the judges gave way to Saul's 40-year reign, David's 40-year reign, and Solomon's 40-year reign. At the end of Solomon's 40-year reign, the 12 tribes were divided. They were divided. 10, the northern tribes of Israel, and 2 in the south were called Judah. That's pretty much the history study of the Bible. You say, what does that have to do with me? Well, I want to go back because we're going to talk about the tribe of Ephraim. You don't need to know much detail other than Ephraim represents spiritual pride. Self-focused, envious, base pride. Did you know the church does not have to fear the world? I don't care if everyone goes to Sodom. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world, the culture, the trend. It doesn't matter. The church is not at risk, ever, unless she allows pride to surface unchecked, envy, selfishness, narcissistic self-focus. The church falls when she opens the door to pride. Now, I just want to lay this out for you, okay? Because it's a very strange story. So, the Ephraimites are a tribe, and they come to Jephthah, who's the leader. His mama was a prostitute. He was a down-and-out young man, but how many of you know God can take what the world considers refuse and take it and turn it into greatness? Jephthah is a man with no history except a bad one. And yet God summons Jephthah to be a judge in Israel. But he has a problem. His people are pestered by the Ephraimites. And we're going to look at three traits of pride today. I just want to tell you, God's cleansing his church. This is good news. This is good news. We don't need to fear sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It's a religious spirit rooted in pride that we need to watch out for. The holier than thou that creeps in, thank God I am not as these. Jesus tells a story of a religious man and a poor little wiped out publican he's called. And the religious man looks down at the humble man and says, I thank thee, Lord, I am not as this pig. I tithe of all that I possess. I pray three times a day. I fast once a week, unlike this scum. And he walks away, and the poor little guy doesn't even look to heaven feeling unworthy and says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Jesus says, guess which prayer God heard? The prayer rooted in humility. John Bunyan said, he that is face down has no fear of falling. Today we're going to look at a tribe who crystallize and represent a religious spirit rooted in pride. What about me? Look what happens. The men of Ephraim, verse 1, they came up and they say to Jephthah, you just went out on this big battle. Now the battle's over and it's been won, but the Ephraimites come in and say, you know what? You never called us. Why didn't you call us to the battle? And Jephthah, you know, pride always has its skewered history of things. Did you ever see people recount a history that's just so warped and twisted, and you lived it with them, but it's just, you don't even recognize it? Book of Proverbs says a parable in the mouth of a fool is just like someone with a crippled leg. It just doesn't come out right. A fool just can't. You ever heard someone that can't tell a joke? I heard the joke. Wait a minute. Let me tell you the joke. It's crippled by the time it comes out. I didn't look at anyone directly. I'm just saying. But did you know the Ephraimite, they come up to Jephthah and they go, you fought that battle. And what about us? Why didn't you call us? Jephthah says, I did call you, but you didn't come. You didn't come to deliver me. The Ammonites were our big enemy. We called you. We left a fax. We left an email. We already invited you, but you wouldn't come. There are some folk that will never come and fight with you, but when the war is over, they come in for the spoils and to complain. Well, you should have had it. Now the Ephraimites appear earlier in Judges chapter 8. Let me remember Gideon, a great man of God. He was one of the great judges we know about. But listen to Judges 8:1, poor Gideon. And the men of Ephraim said unto Gideon, why hast thou served us thus, and thou callest us not when thou wentest to fight with the Midianites? And they did chide with him sharply. A prideful religious spirit will rise up and chide with you sharply. The battle's over. God, remember, Gideon had 32,000 men. God said, you got too many. He goes, ask anyone that wants to leave, leave. And 10,000 walk out. He already had 32,000. The enemy had over 100,000. So they were dead to begin with. God says, you got too many. So God parses it down to 300 people. And 300 win the battle. The Lord can win a battle by many or few. And in Gideon's case, the Midianites are destroyed. And the Ephraimites come up again after the battle is won. And go, what about us? Why didn't you have us with you? And Gideon, now in Gideon's case, he uses diplomacy. By the way, you can't get down to a religious spirit and surface its pride with diplomacy. Listen to what Gideon said to these idiots. And he said unto them, what have I done now in comparison of you? Is it not the gleaning of the grapes of Ephraim better than the vintage of Abiezer? God hath delivered into your hands the princes of Midian and Oreb and Zeb, and what was I able to do in comparison of you? Then their anger was abated towards him. Gideon blew smoke at him. When the spirit of pride with all of its hat and outfit came in, Gideon used diplomacy and said, oh, baby, we're nothing compared to you. We'll only call you when the big battles come because you're just too mighty. And they went, all right. But diplomacy will never bring true peace. Loved one, true peace has to be peace based on truth, or it is appeasement. You know those folks you just try to diplomatically deal with, and you know that same devil's head is going to pop up in 20 minutes because you didn't cut the head off the snake. It went back in the hole. Diplomacy. You can never deal with the pride of a religious spirit by appeasement because it'll just rise up. As soon as you leave the room, actually, as soon as you turn your back. Well, What's that in my back I feel? Oh, it's a pearl-handled dagger. So we're back in Judges chapter 12. There's another huge battle, and they go against the Ammonites, and it's won by God, and Jephthah is not Gideon. Jephthah is going to cut these people down. 42,000 of these folks are going to drop in one day. I just want you to see the application today. God is surfacing pride in the church so he can decimate it, level it, and then, praise God, we're going to have a release of grace and love and mercy and a flow of the Holy Spirit, which is the bloodstream of the kingdom of love, and nobody's going to be able to stop it. God is dealing with all of the Gibeonites. The Ephraimites. Let me read on. I'm back in chapter 12. Then Jephthah gathered together. Now, verse 3, he says, and when I saw that you delivered me not, this is Jephthah, I put my hands in the hand of the Lord, and the Lord delivered me. Why do you come back here and say, you're going to fight against me? Verse 4, then Jephthah gathered together all the men of Gilead and fought with Ephraim, and the men of Gilead smote Ephraim because they said, when prideful people talk. The Ephraimites said, you Gileadites, you're nothing. You're fugitives from our king. We're just better than you. And, you know, these guys had had enough. Verse 5 says, the Gideonites took the passages of the Jordan before the Ephraimites, and it was so that when those Ephraimites which were escaped said, let me go over, the men of Gilead said unto them, art thou an Ephraimite? If he said, no. I want you to get the idea here. Gideon pacified this religious spirit of pride, came back. What about me? Now, I know that there's no pride in your life. I know this is a message for your mama. This is the CD you give to Aunt Lucy. She really needs it. So what's happened is they've finally done the right thing, which is they got to root this spirit out. Did you know sometimes God just roots it out? So the Ephraimites are now on the other side of Jordan, and they're isolated from their home, and some of them are sneaking back across the Jordan. Look at verse 5. There's an interesting test to identify who these prideful, self-centered Ephraimites were. Art thou an Ephraimite? If they said no. Verse 6, then they said unto him, say now Shibboleth. And he said, Sibboleth, for he could not frame to pronounce it right. Then they took him and slew him at the passages of the Jordan. And there fell at that time Ephraim 42,000 men. What a weird test. Say Shibboleth, and they couldn't. You know how people talk? You can tell what part of the... Pack the car in the garage, put water in the radiator. You know where someone's from, right? Or they say, I'd like that polo for lunch. No, it's Poyo. I was raised in Des Moines, Iowa. No, Des Moines. Met a guy that said, I know Iowa. We were lived right outside Des Moines. I said, Des Moines. Park the car in the garage and put water in the radiator. You can tell where someone's from. Lieutenant or lieutenant. You know, just sometimes your speech bewrayeth you. Sometimes you just start talking and we know exactly where you're from. I'm from L.A. Yeah. I mean Louisiana? Or, you don't know. See, you know someone's lying sometimes just by how they talk. Well, The Hebrew letter shin or sin is based, it looks exactly the same. I was going to draw it for you, but there's no markers here of all the times. You couldn't read my handwriting anyway, but you could see the symbol. In Hebrew, it's a shin. Shibboleth. Shibboleth means river. River. But they knew that this tribe had a little speech impediment that would identify them clearly. So they're sneaking back over into their land, and Jephthah's people say, are you of that tribe? They went, no. See, the name they tried to exalt, they're now denying. Oh, I've never heard of them. Don't know what you're talking. We're from the tribe of Dan. And he goes, really? Say Shibboleth. And they would say, Sibboleth. They couldn't hear the sh. And then they took them and killed them. They couldn't hear the shibboleth. So they said, Sibboleth. What a weird test. Isn't that a crazy test? Did you know God's putting up tests right now in the body of Christ, as clear as that one, to reveal pride so that it can be decimated? What's your shibboleth? I don't know what it is, but it's going to be something that you can't say just right. Have you ever seen folk and they'll talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk in the Lord? They talk the talk, but they don't walk the walk. I mean, there's nothing about grace in them. There's nothing about forgiveness. There's nothing about glory. There's no mercy. There's no nothing. It's just they talk. See, they can't say shibboleth. They say sibboleth with their life. It's clearly a mark of a prideful person who's in it for themselves. Now, you know what's interesting? There's three traits that help us identify pride. And we're going to just look at these Gibeonites. Now, the Gileadites are sinful people too, but these Ephraimites, they're just out of control. And they need to be rooted out. Now, this is something very interesting. Jephthah wasn't Gideon. Gideon pacified him with diplomacy. We pacified Adolf Hitler with diplomacy. While he ran, by the way, tomorrow marks the anniversary of the beginning of World War I, September 1st, when Hitler went into Poland. We could have at any point checkmated him and stopped him. But rather than getting into trouble, he was appeased. And when you appease a prideful person, they just are amplified in their pride and will come back stronger. Hitler was terrified. The British would come again. There were points where he just we didn't move. Nobody did anything. So he just thought, oh man, they could have knocked me over. And he advanced. And true peace has to be peace based on truth, or it's appeasement. It isn't peace. What is it that you have appeasement with in your life? You didn't deal with it. You didn't root it out. You just appeased it. We had dandelions in my lawn in Des Moines, Iowa, 28, 24, 47th Street. My daddy asked me to mow the lawn, and I'd take care of them. And I mowed all the dandelions down. It was the best mowing job I've ever seen. Except no one explained to me that when you mow dandelions and all those little white things are blowing in the air, now 14 other homes had dandelions in their front yard. Mama came out with gloves and a weird implement and said, no, you have to root out every dandelion by the roots. I was taken with a bout of allergies at that moment. Consumed with a case of the vapors. And my brother Randy was forced to go out and root these things out. It's all coming out. Whatever's true in you is going to come out of you. Amen. Shibboleth, sibboleth. Mm-hmm. Here's the first sign of pride. Prideful people are easily offended. You can tell how big a man is by how big of an issue it takes to make him mad. Some people, the air touching their skin offends them. The Greek word is scandalon. It means the little, in the mousetrap, when you set it where you put the peanut butter, that little trigger, it's called scandalon. It's the button of offense. You touch it, and it snaps on. You got a big old bear trap on your leg. That's called an offense, scandalon. You stepped in the trap. You took the bait. Prideful people are easily offended. This tribe, the Ephraimites, just wanted to say, what about me? What about us? You didn't call us. What about me? Ever done that? You go into church, it's a peaceful place, and they start a Bible study, and they don't ask you to teach. How can they don't ask me to teach? I'm a better teacher than him. I could teach with half my brain tied behind my back. What about me? It's pride. What about me? When do I sing a solo? When do I sing a solo? I'm a better singer than they are. Whoa. Excuse me, I think something's coming out of your throat. Oh, the green pea soup got in my eyes. Loved one, God knows how to surface pride. Prideful people are easily offended. They're offended at everything at all times, no matter what. Even when the battle was already fun, it was fought, it was perfect, it was wonderful, they weren't happy with anything. You know, you could have fought that battle a little better, Jephthah. We won. What are you talking about? See, pride is easily offended about everything. There's people that you got to walk on eggshells around. It's real relaxing to be with them. You've got to be Cain in Kung Fu. Remember when he's walking on the rice paper at the end of his lifetime of Kung Fu training? He's got to like walk through the rice paper and not break anything. Then he had to pick up that molten pot and put it on a pedestal that opened the door. Then he's got his little Shaolin. Oh, I learned more from Cain than I did the Bible. I thought he was Jesus when I grew up. I was very confused. Remember Cain in Kung Fu? Yeah, I'm talking over your heads. Remember Cain, the flute, you know? Cain, what do? I work, I live, I breathe, but we are all waiting for the 20 minutes when he took down the enemy in slow motion. We're waiting. Come on, Cain. Cain's not mad now. Cain, now what about that? You know, and it's, we're waiting because he's going to snap in slow-mo. You know, you think Robert Downey Jr. and Sherlock Holmes is amazing. Go back and get the kung fu. You know, I really hurt myself when I slap myself like that. What I do for you people. I live to serve. I love to serve. And God Almighty. I bear these scars proudly. Oh, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Shibboleth. Prideful people are easily offended about everything. Secondly, logic is powerless to humble pride. Logic is powerless. Yeah? This tribe comes up and says, you never called us. He goes, I did call you. You didn't answer the call. You're not here because we called you and you didn't come. So we had to go by ourselves and the Lord wrought a great victory. Logic is, you know, it's water crashing against a rock. Makes no sense. I remember talking to one guy and we were in a philosophy class and the guy said, I don't believe logic applies to reality. I said, well, that is a logical statement about reality. So it must apply to reality. Yeah, I don't know what you just said. Logic doesn't apply to ultimate reality, but that is a logical statement about ultimate reality. So you just refuted yourself. It's called a self-refuting statement. It's like saying, I can't utter a word in English. You just did. Someone knocking on the door, you're saying, I'm not here. So anyway, but logic was powerless. It's like my mother. Logic was powerless against my mother. You could illustrate. I would act. I'm so animated because I had to act things out in mime to try to get my mom to understand things. God rest her. And then she'd still go, well, I don't believe that. You know, it's some people, logic is, it's powerless. Pride will never be answered by logic. That's why people drive you crazy that are all locked. They're offended easily, and logic has no power over them. And so you just say, let's have lunch. About the third time of me saying that is a logical statement about reality. Let's have lunch. I mean, I'm not going to, I don't know what he's talking about. Abraham Lincoln once met a man, and he was explaining a very simple principle to the man, and the man just didn't get it. And Lincoln said it about 12 times. And finally, the old man, that the logic was just powerless. He said, well, that Lincoln, you just never understand what he means. And when he walked away, Lincoln said, there's some fleas a dog can't reach. Prideful people are easily offended, just like these Ephraimites. Secondly, logic is powerless to humble them. Shibboleth. 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 No, no. Shibboleth. Shibboleth. No. Let's go again. You see, they wouldn't, they could, they, God will bring, listen to the warnings when people are in your life and they're tearing you to pieces. You're saying shibboleth, they're saying sibboleth. Distance yourself from unsafe people. Do not cast your pearls before swine. Do not give what is holy to the dogs. You need to know who is safe in your life and hang out with them. Remember last week, are they a confidant? Are they there for you? Trust them. Are they a constituent there for your cause? Don't trust them. Are they a, what's the third one?
Comrade.
Comrade. Do you just have a common enemy? Don't trust them. Only trust confidants, not constituents or comrades. So prideful people are easily offended. Logic is powerless to humble their pride. But third, pride can't stand to see God bless anyone else. Did you know these people couldn't stand the fact that God had blessed Jephthah, that God had used the son of a whore? You know, there's people looking at your life going, I don't understand why God blesses him. Why does he get in their boat? It's confusing. Lord, if you bless them, we're going to misunderstand an awful lot of things. Did you know when you can't stand seeing somebody else blessed, that is an issue of pride surfacing in your life? Just bless everybody. They've got a husband, they've got a wife, they've got a new car, they got a new house, they're famous, you're not. It's all right, it's all good, it's all good. I've got my eyes on the Lord, y'all prosper, I wish you well. Loved ones, sometimes this is all the heaven anybody's going to have down here. Don't begrudge that trophy wife her new work done on her chin.
Her chin was fine, she's an addict, she did one, yet. She got 14,
who cares how many, shut up. That's her chin. She can do what she wants. If she has the money to do it, hey, and I recommend if it's not addictive and some broken thing, you can go pay and have whatever you need done too. I'd like to have a lot of stuff done on me. I'm saving the offering up for those pec implants. Of course, the butt implants will be next. Amen. They're going to see me when I walk in the room. Loved one, it's all about me. Pride says, what about me? Look at me. This tribe said, what about us? You didn't call us. Yes, we did. Even their telling of history was false and would not yield to logic. Quit battering doors down with reason and logic. Prideful people don't get it.
I don't understand what you're saying. Doesn't make any sense what you just said. I just talked for an hour and refuted your argument. No, you didn't.
We had two atheists that used to come in. Well, they weren't so much atheists, just fools. And they would come in and they were both there and they would listen to a whole message like this. Then they would ask me a question and I would answer the question and they would go, Then they would go to the next question. There was no interest in truth. There was no hungering, thirsting, or seeking. There was just one-upsmanship and all. They didn't even hear what I said. They just went on to the next question, went on to the next. There are people that are like that in your life and God's trying to root them out in this next season. Shibboleth. Oh, come on in. Sibboleth. You're an Ephraimite. And notice they wanted all the attention on their tribe, the tribe of Ephraim, and it was a great tribe. Joshua came from this tribe. But they thought they were so self-sufficient. They didn't think Jephthah was worthy of leadership. They thought that they should get all the attention, yet in a moment they would deny the name they tried to put in front of the world. Are you an Ephraimite? Nope. Okay. Say Shibboleth. Sibboleth. Did you know what? Their speech betrayed them. See, there are just little things sometimes about your character that just tell us everything about you. Just one letter. And they were destroyed because their nature was of such a nature that it could not yield in humility to God's work, easily offended. Logic couldn't prevail under any circumstance. There's some folks that doesn't matter what you say, they will disagree with you. You know, Michael, my son, Michael's 15 years old today, praise God. Amen, my baby, that they told me 15 years ago today would not live. The night before last night, 15 years ago, I was at a service at Jubilee Church, and I heard the Lord say, get up and go home. He doesn't usually throw me out of church services, but he said, get up and go home. And I went home, and I found my then wife laying on the bed with blood all over the bed, just blood. All her water had broken, but blood was everywhere. She couldn't move on the bed. So I picked her up, and I took her, and I put her in the car, and we ran. He's a mighty God. We didn't know there was anything wrong until we got to the hospital and the doctor saw there was something wrong. But you know what's funny? I just said, Lord, let him live. That was it. Let him live. He had to have three holes in his heart, so he came out with a chromosomal abnormality, duplication of 8P, and had three holes in his little heart, and so they put him right into heart surgery, and I don't know how they did it, but they got the best guy at UCLA, just happened to be there that day. And he sewed those holes up, then he had malrotation of the intestines. His intestines would have killed him and gone black, but they did the surgery on his intestines. Then he had massive reflux, and they had to put a little something around his tummy, and then he had two hernias, and I'm telling you, this kid had been through a lot, but I just asked, I said, Lord, let him live. And they said, he'll never live, he'll never be aware of his environment, he'll never, well, guess what, he's 15 today. Bless his holy name. But I'm telling you what, there's just nothing that will humble you more than seeing how desperate you are. Loved one, how can we be prideful? If we know we're creatures, God made us. He made us. How can we be prideful? Paul said, if everything you have has been given to you, wherein is pride? We're sinners. We're not only creatures, but we're sinners that need a Savior. How can we be prideful? How can we stand as though we are our own God when we see that we're creatures and we're sinners? And loved one, even saints, realizing that we're saints is proof that there was a mighty God when no other eye would pity us and no other hand would save us, who stepped down to save us. Oh, he's a mighty God. And he will deliver you from impossible situations. The opinions of the world be damned. When God works on your case, he'll bring a victory. Jephthah was given a victory against an insurmountable enemy, and he did not need religious folk to help him. After being easily offended about everything and logic being powerless against what you're saying, pride can't stand to see someone else blessed. He's surfacing pride to dismantle it. 42,000 fell that day of this tribe. Because God is so serious about moving in the world, but he must put a test, Shibboleth or Sibboleth. I don't know what the test is, but it is a test to see whether it's all about you or it's all about him. You know, when you're desperate, you in moments you cry out and make vows to the Lord, but he holds you to those. God, if you ever get me out of this, I'll never. Don't say I'll never. I say, Lord, get me out of this, and I promise never to ask you till next time. My confessions are, I'll never do this again until next time. Amen. Loved one, I don't know. I know this is a strange word. It's odd. But there's a beauty in Jesus winning and pride losing in our hearts. May he cleanse us of pride. The middle letter of I is of pride is I. The middle letter of sin is I. Me. What about me? Well, guess what? It's all about him. And as we surrender our pride to God and we say, Lord, level it wherever it is, even if it's a little thing that I think I'm so great and I'm such a big deal. Yeah, you are good. You're great. You're a big deal, but your piece of the pie isn't the whole pie. The body of Christ is made up of ears and nostrils and eyes and hands and feet, and you're a part of the body, and we need who you are. But it isn't all about the feet. We have whole movements just dealing with the feet as though it's all about the feet, you know. If you don't have feet, you don't go anywhere. Yeah. Don't join the footists. I'm of them that walk. We be of them that hear. We hear you coming. It's like the body of Christ. Paul said, is Christ divided? Do we really follow Peter or Paul or those that knew Jesus? Because Christ's body is not divided. He, without pride, gave his life for you so that you could be lifted up. Humble thyself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. May he continue to root out Sibboleth. All the people, places, and things out of our life that would feed the pride in our lives. What we feed is what grows. God, forgive us in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask now in Jesus' name that you would assault and decimate the pride in my heart. Start with me. Any selfish, overweening pride or arrogance, I surrender to you, O God. In your mercy, come and touch your children today. Lord, we can't, every sin, whatever the fruits might be, the roots are pride. I want my way over God's way, and I want my way now. Lord, cleanse us right now in the blood of Jesus. Forgive us for looking down at others and thinking that we're superior. Forgive us, Lord, for always trying to make it about us. What about me? Enough about me. What do you think about me? Oh God, help us right now. Continue your work, precious Holy Spirit, exposing the roots. Anything that says Sibboleth that can't say Shibboleth, we ask you to root it out as brutally as you did. Because we want, Lord God, to be face down without any fear of falling. We want you to move, and we will not touch the glory. All the glory belongs to you. We will not touch the glory. It all belongs to you. We bless you and we thank you for your goodness. Thank you that your blood is enough to cleanse us of all of our selfishness. Forgive us of our self-will. Forgive us of our narcissistic focus. It's all about me. Forgive us, Lord, for demeaning others and being jealous when you promote others and just being impervious to logic itself, Lord. Being offended by everything and everyone all the time. Help us, Lord. Make us like Jesus. Make us like the Lamb who stood before his shearers dumb and said not a word. Creator of heaven and earth. Lord, rain upon your people grace right now. We pray mercy, a rain that will surface the pride so that we can root it out, cut its head off, throw it aside. Say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Lord, I want this and I want that, but thy kingdom come. Nevertheless, thy will be done. We exalt you. Forgive us, Lord, when we stand in our own strength. We are without strength. We're just the clay. You are the master potter. Shape us, Lord, into the vessel that you see in your heart. We don't want to attain unto more than we're able to. We want to just be the little teacup you've called us to be, or whatever it is. Shape us according to your will. Let's just yield to the Lord, church, right now. Say, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in my life. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. If I have dreams that are too high for me, straighten them out, iron them out. Lord, forgive us for getting angry when other people get a blessing. Just keep blessing everyone you want to. Forgive us, Lord. We'll get ours someday, but bless everybody. Let us rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. Give us the strength to do that. Praise God. You don't need to be envious. God has a blessing for you. You don't need to compare yourself to others. Say, what about me? God has the right thing at the right time for you, dear heart. We humble ourselves, mighty God, under your hand. Exalt us in due time. Exalt us in due time, but do decimate pride. And thank you that you are cleaning the land, that you are clearing out of the land all of these things so that we can be safe in your house, so we can be safe. And we say, Shibboleth, Lord, let your river flow here.